Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, feel free to call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or you can email me at bonk@aol.com. And before we get started with my very special co-host for tonight, Dr. Brian Hooper, I would like to make a few announcements that we're starting to get ready for our California retreat. That'll take place on September 20th and 21st in Los Angeles, California, right outside the L.A. airport, LAX. I have details available, so if you're interested, please write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I will be happy to send you the information. It's going to be a wonderful weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. We have some wonderful California women. I've met them several times, and women are coming in from all over the country, and I'm really excited about meeting new people, rekindling my friendships with some of our women who are there to support others. And as we all know, the road to healing is a long and winding road, and sometimes you think you're just doing so well with it, and all of a sudden, boom, it just takes one incident to draw you back. So if you are interested in our healing weekend, please let me know, bonk@aol.com. So I would like to introduce my special guest to you tonight. Well, he's not a guest. He's my co-host once a month, and very thrilled to have him. Brian, are you there?
I am here, Bonnie. How are you this evening?
Good, Brian. How are you?
I'm just dandy. Thank you very much, and even better now because I'm with you.
Thanks, Brian. I always feel the same way when you're here, and so do the women who are listening to our show. They always feel a sense of relief, and they
Good.
Always feel a sense of comfort hearing you, and you just make people feel better, and I think it's a wonderful thing that you come here every month and do this for us. So
well,
I appreciate
it. I'm really delighted and honored to be able to be with you, Bonnie, and the good work you're doing. And also to be a source of encouragement to these really wonderful women who you are serving. So it's a privilege to come alongside you and be of some help.
Thanks, Brian. I know that I'm going to have a very exciting trip this week. I'm leaving for Los Angeles on Tuesday morning.
Oh,
and I'm going to be
good.
Looking at the hotel where we're having our retreat in September. But that's not why I'm going in. I'm going in to see the Clippers game in L.A.
Oh,
so it's going to be a quick turnaround. I'll be going in and the next day going home. But
no.
This is one of the things on my bucket list. So this is what I'm going to be doing Tuesday. But it'll give me a chance to see the hotel where we're having our retreat in September. So I'm excited about that. And I know it's just going to be a great time for all of us who are there. I mean, these retreats are so, you know, the healing weekends are so important for women to have the validation that they need, because so often you're not going to find it with other people who don't understand the situation.
That's right.
And I know that you're always very healing towards people. But I do want to mention that a number of our women who are listening, they told me they've gone on your Facebook page. And let's talk about that for a minute, because
sure.
you always have new things coming up on that. Talk to us a little bit about that, Brian.
I do. Well, you know, in this day of media, in order to reach out to people, it's not enough just to have a website. We have to be putting things out there that can be of interest to folks and hopefully helpful to them. So I decided to open up a professional Facebook page, and you can find that by going to Facebook and in the search bar for Facebook, just type in Dr. Dr. Brian Hooper and then Nashville Counselor, and you'll find me pretty easily that way. But what I'm doing is just, you know, I'll hear people say things, and it will spark a thought in my mind about how sometimes we maybe throw out a phrase and then you sort of run with it without really investigating it. So I try to explore some ideas, and all of them are going to a good place with people. You know, these are not about scolding folks, but about helping people weave together the threads of their lives to be more whole and to be more emotionally fit and available, available to themselves and available to other people that they care about in their lives. So, so that's what I'm doing. I'm writing at least one entry a week and sometimes more. And and getting very good response to that. I'd love it if your ladies have not had opportunity to visit the page, to go there and to like the page. And then if there are articles that they particularly enjoy, like the article and share the article with a friend. Post it to their own Facebook page. That would be wonderful.
You know, I'll tell you something. I had an experience the other night that was pretty disturbing.
Mm.
And I guess no matter how many times this happens, I still feel very disturbed. But I met a very nice young woman who, you know, not on a different page than I am about a lot of things, but she's an author and she has a radio show. And she asked me if I would do the show with her. And
sure.
I told her, you know, I would be happy to do it. And she knows my background and where I'm coming from. And very nice, very upbeat. You know, we have different points of view on different things. She's, you know, an African-American woman who has her experiences, which are, of course, different than mine, but we all have common bonds. And I was a little disturbed, however, when I was doing her show because I had a lot of controversy going on the gay issue, of course. And I always feel like I have to be defensive because she had, like, three people calling in to dispute me. And, of course, they're all tied into the church, and they all say that, you know, this is the way the church feels, that gay is a choice, that people don't have to be gay. They're not born that way. And all three of them made this comment that people aren't born gay because God does makes things perfect, so he wouldn't make somebody gay. And it was very upsetting to me, and, of course, I gave every explanation in the world why this is not the case and why it has nothing to do with, you know, the way God, you know, makes things perfect. I mean, it just hurt me to say this, but it hurt me to hear it. But it hurt me more because a lot of times when people are tied into a church, and especially minority people, black people, and I think of all the ways, you know, they've gone through persecution beyond the realm of, you know, humanity in this country, and, you know, they've been hurt so much by prejudice and by narrow-minded thinking, and yet I just can't understand how, in my mind, because I've faced this throughout the years, you know, with the community and the church, on how they could even fathom this kind of thinking. It was very upsetting to me. I posted it on my, you know, Facebook page for people to listen to it. You know, because they can hear how upset I am, but no matter how I argued this situation, it's like nobody was really listening to me. You know, they're so set in their thinking, and I think that this is just one little group of people, you know, one little radio show, but it is reflective on the thinking, and I said to them, how do you think this will ever change when you make these kinds of sweeping condemnations of people? You know, why wouldn't people go and run into a closet rather than think they're going to be damned forever by you? And it's just the same as I was having a conversation before with someone before tonight on my chat about, you know, the church not agreeing to giving her a divorce because she didn't have the proof she needed, you know, about her husband and that she wouldn't be able to get forgiven. And I just said to her, I said, you know, look, you know, the Catholic Church is certainly not in any position right now to make judgment as far as I'm concerned on anything. Because as far as I'm concerned, you know, if you truly do believe in God and in Jesus and he sees, you know, all the terrible sexual abuse that's been going on, you know, that's coming to light now, and they're going to sit and dispute over a sacrament because you're getting a divorce. And, you know, it just really upsets me that so many people's lives are put on such hold over religious controlling, or the way people misinterpret religion, shall I say.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Because I don't believe this is at all what Jesus said, what Jesus was about. I just believe that people have made this stuff up. Now, you're a pastoral counselor, so you certainly know far more about it than I do, so maybe you can say something.
Sure, sure. Well, it's interesting. I remember a scene standing in a vestry getting ready to help lead a funeral for a gay man. And I made some comment to the bishop who was there, who was a bishop in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which now ordains gay and lesbian people and allows for same-sex union. And as we were standing there, we were reflecting on something similar to this, and he said to me, "Well, Brian, we can't blame people for believing what it is that we have in the past taught them." And what I see is the case, Bonnie, is that so many people are still laboring under, you know, former positions that the church universally held and which now no longer is being held. And they have a great fear of somehow getting on the wrong side of God if they get on the wrong side of the institution. And what I think we need to remember is that, at least with Christianity, the message is that the gospel is about liberating people to have a whole relationship with God and with themselves and with each other. So that becomes the lens through which we need to look at all these religious questions. Does the issue, the perspective that I'm holding, help me make the world more whole, beginning with myself? Or does it continue to perpetuate hostility between you and I, hostility within me? And if that's what it's doing, then it needs to be rethought. You know, there was a saying at the Reformation of the Christian Church, which was, always reforming, semper reformanda. The church is always reforming. And I think that we need to take that into our lives, too, psychologically, and ask, you know, am I thinking a thought over and over again, which only disturbs me and disturbs my relationships with other people? And begin to ask, is there another way to look at this? Is there another way to think about it? A lot of folks put their faith in their system of faith rather than a trust in their experience of God. And when they do that, then they have a house of cards, which if you pull out one card, the whole thing comes down, and they get very anxious about that. And that's often the case with the issue of being gay, and where some churches stand on that. People are afraid that if they change the position on that issue, their whole faith system will crumble. And what I would say to them, well, God's going to remain who God is, no matter what you're thinking. So why don't you trust in this God of liberation and be willing to rethink some things? Your life might just be better.
Well, I think, you know, once again, if you go back to the whole religious concept, there are so many different kinds of Christian denominations, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Many different Protestant groups. There's one Catholic group, but there's many different Protestant groups. And, I mean, it's almost like saying, who's right? You know, is everybody right? And I don't think everybody would say that. I mean, I don't think everybody's going to say, no, they're right, no, they're right, no, we're right, no, we're all right. I think people definitely have their own preferences and beliefs.
But
I think that in itself should show you this is a man-made thing. I mean, this is not what God ordained, and people are just taking it and making it what they want to make it. It's not in the spirit of what Jesus was about.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with you.
So I find that disturbing, and I also find it disturbing that people use it, you know, as a means of keeping other people alienated in a way or scaring them that, you know, if you're going to be gay, then something terrible is going to happen to you, forcing people to go deeper into a closet where they don't, you know, want to stay and they don't belong. I mean, it's just to me, I think religion is so responsible for a lot of this.
So let's just take a moment, Bonnie, and let's just take a moment and look at this lady that you were on her program with, and the position of the folks that called in. And I want to just kind of want to dissect that just a little bit. So what happens in those kind of groups, and I would label them, and I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I mean labeling as in, you know, I label the fruit drawer from the vegetable drawer from the, you know, cheese drawer, et cetera, in my refrigerator. That's what I mean. So there's a way to understand the mindset. So those kind of groups are fundamentalist, meaning that they tend to read their scripture through a very literal lens, and they don't take into consideration with everything time of writing, place of writing, to whom it's being written. And also with that, they say, well, we read it this way, therefore if you're having a contrary experience to what we're reading, and this what we're reading is infallible, and our reading of it is infallible, then you must be wrong with your experience. So you only think you're gay, but in reality, we know you're not because this is how we read the scripture. Well, as long as that's their whole approach to their religion, can you see how changing the perspective on the issue of being gay means they have to read everything differently, and they don't know what to do with that. It's a very frightening prospect to them. But what I have found is the gay men who come to see me that are wrestling with their religion and their sexuality, when they can begin to trust the divine more than the system of their religion, then they begin to have peace and live more honestly and with more integrity. And actually, that then begins to model more of what we see modeled in the life of Jesus.
I don't know. I think the whole thing is just so sad, and not just for Christians, because, believe me, I know the Muslims are in the same boat, but Orthodox Jews are in the same boat.
Anyone who reads in a fundamentalist way, mm-hmm. this applies. I'm hoping if there's folks out there, men or women who are listening, that are coming from that background, that what I'm saying will be resonating with them, and they'll be saying, yep, he's right. That's what it's about. It's about fear that I'll lose my faith. And what I want to say is, no, you actually have an opportunity to exercise real faith, because faith is not about a set of ideas. Faith is about relationship. It's about relationship. So if you can move from trust in a set of ideas to trust in the relationship that God has with you no matter what, then maybe you can dare to face things a little bit more honestly and begin to read your life more honestly as well as your holy books. And I would say to that to fundamentalist Jews or Muslims or Christians of any stripe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just hoping folks may be overhearing this and going, oh, yeah, okay, I begin to understand what my thinking is about and how I might want to change that. And if they do, they can always feel free to give me a call and I'll help, you know, we can work something out about dealing with that.
Well, I think that's really important for people who need their religion in their life, not to have to feel condemned by it, but hopefully liberated by it, by learning to look at it differently. And certainly, Brian, you can do that with people through your counseling.
Well, I know the ropes, that's for sure, because I've been there and dealt mm-hmm. with it myself. Yeah.
So that was like something that was really disturbing to me this week. And then there's something else that was really disturbing to me.
Okay.
And I know that women really have a hard time believing a lot of women have a hard time believing that their husbands are doing something outside the marriage. And, you know, I think that what they would believe it, then that would be something they would have to really finally deal with the whole situation. And the husbands are very happy to lie to their wives because they don't want them knowing either. And I guess this was just reinforced for me this week because I received, you know, several, I went back and forth several different times to corresponding with a gentleman who was looking for support, and he wanted to come to my support chat. And, you know, most of the time, you know, I like to know who's coming into it because of the confidentiality of it. And I try to screen people and get to know who they are first.
Of course.
And he said that he was a male, and he wanted to come to it. And I said, well, why would you feel the need to come to my support chat? And he said that he's a male in a committed relationship with a married man. I'm friends with her and him. It's a different situation. So, you know, I pursued this a little further, and I said, does she know about you? I mean, does she know about the relationship between you and her husband, the committed, you know, the committed relationship that he's talking about? Let me know.
Yeah.
And he got back to me, and he said, no, just that we're close friends. I date women for social events. We're both very well-known professionals in our community. Either one of us being outed would devastate our careers. And, you know, then he went on to tell me that he's intertwined with the family. You know, he goes out with the son, who thinks he's, like, the father's best, you know, good friend, like an uncle to him. And the wife, you know, just thinks it's a coworker. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, women are really stupid if they really think that men aren't doing anything. I mean, here's a guy who's doing it right in your home, bringing it into your house, integrating your family. And it really upsets me when I hear these stories, by the way. I mean, I'm really understanding on a lot of issues. But once you start integrating yourself into someone's family and doing things in the house under the, you know, in the root, you know, and to me, like, the home is sacred. You want to have an affair, do it outside. You know, don't bring it into the house. Don't integrate yourself into the family. But to me, there's something really wrong with that. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think you know how I feel about it and what I think about it, too. So what we have here is one big deception and secret keeping. And I distinguish secrets from confidentialities, okay? You know, if you tell me, you know, you're dealing with something and you're working on resolving it and all, that's a confidence, and I hold that. But here what we have is the secret that this man and his lover have that they're keeping from the wife. And the wife of the married man, you know, made a promise and a relationship to be faithful to him and understood that he was doing the same with her. And so this is an infidelity on his part with his wife. This is not a threesome where everybody's in the know and they're agreeing to it, which personally I don't really understand. But, you know, hey, if people want to be honest and upfront and do that, it's a free country, they please. Okay, I'm not going to go there. But this is clearly an issue of deception. If it's so good, why haven't we brought it to the wife's attention long ago? If it's so good, if it's so right, why haven't we let her in on it? That would be one of the things I would want to know. And clearly,
well, because they don't want her to know. I mean, because
they
don't want her to know.
Right, because she would object to it, and she has rights to object to it, of course. So
and the thing is that I know a lot of situations like this, too. I mean, this is not isolated. I guess it bothers me more than the other ones because, you know, there has to be a certain level of trust, you would think, within a marriage. And not that your husband's bringing men home and having sex with them in your bed when you're somewhere else. That really does upset me. And, you know, I have several different instances like that, you know, where it's going on right under your nose. And I think that it's just so disrespectful.
It is disrespectful. Yeah, absolutely.
And I wrote him back. I said, I don't judge people, but I wonder why you think that it's okay to do this to a woman. Do you think you could explain it to me? Living a lie is one thing, but entangling yourself into the lives of unsuspecting people makes me wonder how you do it day in and day out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just wondering what their, you know, thoughts are on this. He said he has a son that I'm an uncle to. We share holidays together as a family. I've had no contact with my family in years. Neither of us was looking for a relationship when we found it. We were just looking for fun, so to speak. We've both had very limited homosexual paths.
Yeah. Well, I always want to know what would I feel like if I'm in a certain situation. I wouldn't want it done with me.
I know.
If I was in a committed relationship with another man, only to find out that all of a sudden he decided that he was going to be bisexual and was off in a relationship with a woman, I wouldn't stick around for that. Or if he was having a relationship with a man, I wouldn't stick around for it either. All I'm saying is, if somebody makes an exclusive promise to be with me, I expect they're going to be with me. And the reason they haven't informed the wife is clearly because they know she'll object to it, and she's got rights to object to it. And it's humiliating and insulting to have it, and violating. I mean, I would just feel so violated, somebody to be bringing it into my home. I mean, it would be bad enough finding they were doing it out in some hotel someplace, but bringing it into my home? No, I don't think so. Not acceptable.
That's the part that hurts me so much when I find out that men are going to the homes. And
yeah.
I don't hear it that often, but believe me, you know, if I hear it maybe 8 to 10 times every month or so, men coming into their homes. And I hate the one where they're integrating the boyfriend into the home with the wife and the children.
Yeah.
Because I've heard that also, and it really makes me ill. And then they end up finding the guy in the basement with the lover and making love and stuff. I mean, how hurtful is that to children to walk in on something like that? I had that happen to a family recently, where the guy was integrated into the family, Uncle Charlie, his name was, and they just thought it was the father's great friend from growing up. You know, they went to the same high school, so they claimed it wasn't true. But that was the excuse on how they knew each other.
Uh-huh.
And then one day, one of the kids walked in on them, having sex.
Yep.
And the kid was like 17 years old. Can you imagine how upset he had to be seeing this?
I can only imagine. Yeah.
I think that takes like some kind of sociopathic type of behavior to feel like there's no rules, no regulations, no consequences, no sense of right from wrong.
None that apply to them. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none that apply to them. Other people, yes, but them, no. Because
they're above the law.
Exactly. Yep. And don't think, I just want to say this to your listeners, and don't think that this has to come from somebody who is, comes from an underprivileged background where they've scraped to get to where they are. There are plenty of people in military and law enforcement and in governmental positions who are functional sociopaths, and they do what they do just under the radar so they don't get caught, and they think they're right. And it happens in the clergy, too. I have, free to say that as well. So just because a person, if a person has a very good education and comes from a, quote, great family, that doesn't mean that they are above any kind of reproach. If you see
behavior... In fact, I think it sometimes works against you, right?
So let's just say this. If you see behavior that's suspicious, if your intuition is telling you things are not quite right, if things don't add up, and your questions get ignored, or if you're told that somehow you're silly, stupid, or paranoid for asking them, make sure you listen to yourself, ladies. Listen to yourself, because something's not right.
And I say the same thing you say. If you listen to yourself, like, for instance, some of these women who write to me, I tell them, I'm sending you back the letter you just sent to me. Please read it and pretend you didn't write it. Pretend it was written by your sister or by your daughter. What advice would you give them? You know, sometimes they need to hear that.
I do that in my sessions with people. If you were your own daughter and you were hearing this, what would you, if your daughter was telling you this, what would you say to her?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what I hear is, well, I tell her not to put up with it. Okay, there you go.
Right.
Right there.
Well,
right
it seems
there.
Like when it comes to yourself that people have different standards or different expectations or,
Deal with that for a moment. Yeah, let's see if we can talk about why it is that it's hard for many women to face this and accept that this really is what's going on, or if they know it's going on, to stop making excuses and start taking care of themselves. Let's talk about that for just a moment, Bonnie. What do you think's going on there?
As far as what?
Well, like, okay, so there's these people that you say, you know, read your own letter and pretend you were the sister or the mother of the person.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give? Well, and then they can clearly see, you know, that they're missing the point. Why is it so hard for them to not just deal with the truth? Why is it that they often make excuses for men or try not to see what it is that they clearly are seeing? What's going on there?
I think that a lot of women, once they face it, or I always tell them, once you say that word, as hard as it is to say gay,
mm-hmm.
then to some women it means a definite end to the marriage. Because I think a lot of women realize that once you accept this is what it is,
mm-hmm.
that you can't turn back, you can't run away from it, you can't change what it is, it's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you don't have to deal with it, there's always a chance that maybe your marriage will work.
There you go.
So
exactly.
I think that's why it's so hard for women to accept this, because we're always trying to fix something that's broken and running around in circles as if it's going to change.
Right.
And it can't. This is one of those problems that you can keep running and running. It's not going to change. No matter
right.
how hard you run or how far you run. But I think it's hard for a lot of women to give up a marriage, Brian.
I do too. This is why I want to talk about this with you, as long as we're, you know, touching on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard, and it means that there is a death that they're going to be facing, the death of the marriage. And what I would say is, first of all, the relationship is in some ways killing you anyway, okay?
Uh-huh.
So better the relationship should die than you should die from any number of things, emotionally or even physically. But the other piece is that if the guy has any shred of integrity in him and realizes, yes, and I have, you know, men in my practice right now who are gearing up to, you know, come out to their wives and deal with things, that if they have any shred left in them of integrity, then you can continue to have a relationship with these men as, you know, the wife of, as the mother of your children together, and it's possible to have, you know, friendships with them when they accept themselves for who they are, because most men are not sociopaths. Most men go into these relationships thinking they're doing the right thing. So it's really not the end of relating all together or the end of everything, but it's the end of the pretending and the false relationship.
I'll tell you what I do see a lot happening, Brian. I see a lot of men who come to me, I'm not saying all of them, but they feel like they've done their duty by staying in these marriages. And when they're ready to get out, they feel that they've been good husbands, that they did everything they were supposed to do. They put a roof over the head of their wife or, you know, had children. They were a good father. They made the sacrifices for all these years, and now they're tired of sacrificing. In their own minds, they really believe that they did something that they didn't want to do, therefore that made them a good husband. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I accept what you're telling me, that they believe that, and they mm-hmm. told you that. I also think that many of them did the best they could with the information they had to work with. In other words,
mm-hmm.
many of them were coming out of churches that told them gay is always bad, so just deny any experience of that inside yourself. You really are straight, so get married, be happy. And they followed those orders thinking that everything would be okay, and over time, you know, they discovered everything is not okay. And in a sense, they really did the best they could with the information that they had to work with and where they were developmentally. That doesn't make them ideal husbands, because it would have been better if they had been straight. But they did the best they could. Now, the ones that are denying it and cheating and continuing to deceive and think they should be able to keep that, keep all the benefits of being married, they're not being good husbands at all. But I think if a man has the integrity to come out, own up to it, provide child support, do the right thing, that really is the last good thing that he can do as part of that marriage.
Well, I agree, but I also agree there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it, too.
Sure.
And I do feel that since you're the one who's in the situation of having to leave a marriage because you're now learning that you need to be who you are, and I strongly encourage that. I never encourage any man who's gay to stay in a marriage to a woman, even though I get a lot of flack back sometimes from the women, but I don't care. It's just really unhealthy when a man doesn't want to be there. And he's a gay man. He doesn't belong in a straight marriage.
And he should come out and be found out.
Mm-hmm. He needs to come out to his wife. But more importantly, he needs to understand that he spent a lifetime fighting these feelings and trying to understand who he was. This didn't develop in a day or a week or a month or a year. You know, he's been going through these feelings for a long time, trying to suppress them, deny them, ignore them. But now that his wife, he's going to tell his wife, you know, it's like they expect an instant, you know, get over it kind of thing, like after 2 weeks. Well, I gave you a week or two to think about it. And then they don't understand that this is just not something that you just accept in a minute or two.
Well, I wrote about this. It's in the blog that's on my website, and that is, I say, listen, it took you this long to come out. Don't expect that she's going to understand it overnight and answer her questions, because she needs answers to her questions. It's the right thing to do. Be patient. So I completely agree with you. And it's not.
And I know how hard it is for them to be patient, because they're looking to start their new lives. They finally have liberated themselves.
Yep.
And, you know, now it's time for me to go live my life for me. I've already lived it all these years for you. But it's not right. You can't just do it that way. It's not the right thing to do.
No. I would agree with you. Can't look at somebody.
Where, you know, some of the disconnects are, you know, and I feel bad because, you know, it could be a good guy who just got lost in the shuffle, but in the meantime, there's collateral damage that's been left behind. And they have to realize that, you know, they have to take some responsibility for this.
Yeah, I would concur.
It's not just that they're a victim. It's now that there's a bad situation that they have to take care of.
Right. Yep.
Right?
That's true, yeah. Exactly true. And so it's going to need some patience and some planning, and they need to be on the same page with parenting with their wife if they still have, you know, offspring that are of need of parental guidance. They have to work together as a team. Absolutely.
You know, it's interesting. I found this poem that I wanted to tell you about. It's on a website, because you were asking me about what are women afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me is the epitome of the, I won't say low self-esteem, I call it no self-esteem, because it goes, he's abusive, and then in parentheses, but I got a man. He cheats on me, but I got a man. He's an alcoholic, but I got a man. He steals my money, but I got a man. He stays out all night, but I got a man. He's on the down low, but I got a man. He doesn't look for work, but I got a man. It's a shame when some women will live with what some women will live with and accept this just to have a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some women are just really afraid of being alone.
Sure,
or that we've been socialized to believe that without a man, you're not validated as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because believe me, I was socialized that way. I always felt I had to have a man or else I'm not, you know, I'm not worthy as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's happening as much today as it used to, but that used to be the line of thought. Either you were had a husband by the time you were 18 or 20, or else you're an old maid. Nobody's going to want you. Do you think things are better today?
Oh, I think they're somewhat better, but there's still a lot of expectation that everybody's going to be with somebody, and if you're not, you know, there's something wrong, or you can't be really happy, and yeah, I think it's still fairly prevalent today. I just think the time is extended a little bit for women. More than it was, but it's still there.
I know, because, you know, I feel sad when a woman I was counseling recently, and she said to me, even a toxic relationship is better than no relationship. That's a really bad starting point.
Yeah,
right?
Really bad. And think about this. When we're with somebody who's abusive or an alcoholic or cheats or is, you know, a drifter and doesn't get can't hold down a job or any of those things were on your laundry list there. We're with somebody who's really not available to be in a relationship. So it's sort of the equivalent of being alone in a crowd. You know, I mean, what earthly comfort, encouragement, and partnership is there in somebody like that? There really isn't. And, in fact, it just keeps her always even more vulnerable than if she were alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Father John Powell said years ago in his little book, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? He said the two loneliest people tonight are not individuals who are alone, but individuals who are with somebody who has become a stranger to them. And I think that's really true, you know. So what needs to happen is women who are in that position need to cultivate a relationship with themselves so that they can support themselves emotionally, be there for themselves, and disentangle themselves from, you know, men who are really not available to be with them for any number of reasons.
No. How would you suggest that a woman meets a man nowadays?
How she meets a man?
Yeah, what's the best way to meet a guy?
Well, I mean, I don't know that there's one best way to do it. I think there are many different ways, and that we can't take anything as the magic way. But I think the place that I'd start first is this. Make a list of everything you definitely don't want in a man. Just make a list of everything you don't want. And then opposite of that, write down what the opposite is, okay? And the reason I say start with what you don't want rather than what you do want is people will come up with a list of maybe 6, 7, maybe 10 things they do want. But there's a lot more that they really want. And particularly when they look at what they've been through that they don't want. So start out by writing a list of what you don't want. And then opposite of that, put the opposite, which is what you really do want. These are non-negotiables. These are very important things. So, and then put that keep that list to one side. So you've got the list of what you really do want in somebody. Now, the second thing is make sure you've got a relationship with yourself first, because if you don't have a relationship with yourself first, you have no business trying to get into a relationship with anybody else. Make sure that you've done your own inner exploration, that you're comfortable with yourself, that you're proud of yourself, that you can look at somebody who doesn't measure up and say, well, thank you very much, but I'm going to be moving on now to the next person because you're not it. And I'm not saying be cruel, but you can say that in your own head. And know that you're okay. When you can look at some guy who looks like a 10, but comports himself as if he's a 2, and when you can look at him, this, you know, 10 that's interested in you, and realize, oh my gosh, there's nothing there, and say, no, I don't think so, and be okay with it, then you're ready to get out and start dating, because then you're going to be taking care of yourself. So start there. Now, places to meet people, I think they're innumerable. Meetup.com, a hiking group, some affinity group with something you're actually interested in, where it won't be just guys. It'll be men and women mixing together and doing something you're interested in. That's a nice casual way to meet people. Go volunteer and do something that requires groups of folks to do the volunteering. You tend to get people who are more altruistically minded in those kind of groups, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Churches and synagogues, that's a mixed bag. People are there for various reasons. If you're inclined to go to a house of worship and be part of that spiritual community, fine, but don't go there thinking that's the way to meet the man, okay? Go there to deal with your religious, you know, needs, and you might meet somebody there. Online dating's okay. Here's what the difference between online dating and walking to a bar is. You walk into a bar and you see a really cute guy. You don't know anything, so you step up and you talk to me again to get to know something. Online, you see a picture of a really cute guy, and you can read what he has to say about himself. You may rule him out before you ever have a conversation because what he's looking for is not what you're looking for. But if perchance he does say that he's looking for the same things that you're looking for, what you need to say to yourself is this. Now listen carefully. This is what he may believe to be true about himself at the time he wrote this. Or he may just be saying what he wants other people to think he believes. So either way, be cautious. But you can definitely use online dating to rule some people out. For those that look like they're candidates, treat them as potential candidates. Get to know them and keep your antennae up and listen to your intuition. Listen to your intuition. I want to say that a third time. Listen to your intuition. Okay? And if it's...
No, and that's so true because, you know, when Donna Anderson here, and she says they did a survey with 100 women who married sociopaths, and 73 out of 100 said they knew something wasn't right when they married them.
Yep.
It wasn't that they didn't have a red flag or two waving in their face. They knew something was wrong. But this is a bad assumption that women make, and maybe men do too. I can't speak on their behalf. I just know for women. They think that even if there are problems going into a relationship, if they work at it hard enough, they can solve the problem. Do you find that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they think that. Oh, it'll work out once we get paid. And I go, no. If the tree is giving you trouble when it's green, you can only imagine what it's going to be like when it comes into full blossom. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It starts bearing fruit. It ain't going to be good fruit. It's going to be bitter fruit. So if you've got red flags on the second date, don't let there be a third date.
That's what I tell women. And, you know, you got to trust your instincts. You can't fix broken people, right?
That's right. You know, if you're going to be a therapist, go be a therapist and get your training and charge people for your time. But don't go into, you know, fixing folks as part of trying to have a relationship with him. And one gentleman I saw in counseling, he kept, bless his heart, he was really a good guy. But he kept dating what he would call wounded birds. And he said to me, Brian, mm-hmm. I date wounded birds, and they end up being raptors, you know. Raptors mm-hmm. with birds in flesh. And he said, I feel like I get turned on. And I said, well, how quickly do you know that they're wounded birds? Oh, from the first date. Well, stop dating wounded birds. Just stop it. We don't need that.
And that's the truth. I mean, there are so many, and also there are women who don't understand this. There are predators out there
mm-hmm.
who are looking for you.
Yeah.
You know that you're vulnerable, and they're looking to, you know, manipulate you and use you because mm-hmm. they know that they can do it. And
right.
these guys know how to find you. And I'm not talking about being gay. I'm just talking about predatory guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Because just because you had a bad relationship with one gay man doesn't mean you're going to jump into another one. Even though we
That's
do
right.
think after everybody gets, you know, divorced, Brian, that every single man is gay
yeah.
for a while.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
we know that's not true, but the point is that there's all kinds of people out there who are looking for vulnerable women. They see you had a bad relationship, so they want to take full advantage of that. And it doesn't
mm-hmm.
take much to drag you in. And trust me, if anybody knows and who's saying it out of love for you, it's me. Because, you know, I'm one who always has a broken heart, who has to be in love, fall in love. And, you know, it was easy for me before, you know, my boyfriend to try to just run into anything that could have made me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's as women, what we do. We just try to make everything feel better.
Yeah.
And for what? I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to work for us.
That's right.
I mean,
yeah,
it's a hard admission to make, but it's true.
That's right. And if any of them are thinking, well, I have to settle for because I can't do better, then absolutely put a moratorium on dating until you get that idea out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right. It'll still be there for you when you're ready for it, but you have to be ready for it and emotionally ready for it.
That's right.
You know,
because
otherwise somebody else is going to break you.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you see that happen with couples?
Oh, absolutely. Straight and gay men and women. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I also believe that we tend to on so many different levels that we're not even aware of, psychologically and metacommunication under the surface, and just the energy that we give out into the world, and that's being documented more and more with the HeartMath Institute and the radius of energy that goes out from the physical heart of a person. But we tend to get back towards us what we put out there. And if you're okay with who you are, if you can go home tonight and be content with who you are as a single person,
mm-hmm.
Then you're ready to date. But if you can't be okay being in your own company, if you feel like you're sort of jonesing to be with somebody, you know, then be very, very careful about falling into a quick relationship with somebody.
A quick
relationship
like that's like falling into quicksand, right?
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So what parting words do you have for this week, Brian, to give women some comfort till the time they hear you next?
Okay, here's what I'd like for everybody to do. I'd like for you all to become aware of moments in your days, and maybe daytime, and maybe evening, moments in which you just notice that you're feeling fine right where you are. And scan from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. When you're feeling okay, just kind of notice that. Notice what that feels like to feel good and content throughout your body. Remember that feeling. Lock it in. Embrace it. And notice all the details around you in that situation that help you experience that. And then as many times as you can, replay in your imagination that experience of feeling just really quite okay. And I guarantee you, you can take that feeling with you when all of a sudden you're starting to feel alone and lonely and it's nighttime. You can close your eyes and you can begin to bring back that experience. Because as much as we get into our loneliness and aloneness and kind of drill down into it, we can also tap into those feelings of feeling good. So try that this week.
Oh, that's a wonderful thought. And also, never have to feel like you have to be alone. There's always support out there for you. All you have to do is look for it. And if you'd like to learn more about Dr. Brian Hooper, you can go on his website at drbrianhooper.com, no dots in between. And you'll see all the wonderful things that he does as far as helping people heal. And I have a large support network, so if you're feeling alone out there, you know, you can always write to me at bondk@aol.com. And I'll be happy to get back to you and send you lots of information that'll help you make good choices that'll be healthy choices for you in the end. So, Brian, I want to thank you so much for joining me for this hour. As always, you're so comforting.
My privilege.
As
thank
always.
You,
and thank you, and you know I love you. And to all our listeners, thank you, Brian. So all our listeners, we'll be back again next week, and have a wonderful week. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Brian.
Good night.
Good night.